different. I'm turning this morning to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. The Gospel of John, chapter 3. And I'd like to start with verse 19. Gospel of John, chapter 3, and verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And this is really about the universal hidden fear. There is a fear at work in every heart. It is hidden, but it influences everyone. It is a fear we would not openly acknowledge. In fact, it is only when we know what the Bible teaches that we're able to recognize that this is that fear at work. You know, it's like sometimes you go to a hospital and you don't acknowledge that there's anything wrong with you. But of course, a doctor who knows better than you looks into your face. Look at how perhaps you are even blinking your eyes. And he says, sir, you have trouble. Something like that. We do not want to acknowledge this fear, but it's a terrible, terrible fear in every single heart. It's so powerful. It's so influential. It's so shaping of our character and conduct. And in fact, it shapes our eternity also. And so friends, this is a very solemn thing we think. The Lord Jesus Christ was speaking with Nicodemus, a very religious man. And the Lord Jesus Christ had to let him realize that there is a spiritual experience he had to know. Otherwise, he could not enter heaven. There was something he had to experience, how God changes a person and transforms him from darkness into light. And he would challenge this man to seek it. And it's in the course of that conversation, discourse, that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about this truth that we are discussing this morning. What makes it important further, friends, is that somebody can be very religious like this man Nicodemus, and yet he would have this fear running in his heart and controlling him and influencing him. What's this fear? Why does it work so powerfully? And how shall we find deliverance from it? And so this is what the Lord Jesus Christ touches on in the three verses that follow one another here in verse 19 to 21. And so friends, let's just look at the verse again and I'll try to explain them. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Now, it's helpful to pick it up from verse 18, because verse 18 speaks of a promise that will be for those who believe. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So there's a promise that all of us are under condemnation, but if we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, if we came, repented, and yielded our lives to him, we would have life. We would not come under condemnation. And then he says that there are people who will come under this condemnation because they do not want to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the question, he moves the question further. But why would they not want to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Because the passage will soon sound very strange. And as we begin to appreciate it, why would they not want to believe? In fact, for majority of persons, it's just enough for them to pay lip service to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they think he will simply be taken in by that. They simply want to adore him with their lips. You know, the Bible said some time ago, these people like to honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And so God notices this, and yet people think it's simply enough to say nice things about the Lord and say nice things about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that settles it. Oh no, friends, it doesn't, because the Lord Jesus Christ knows far too much about our hearts and about who we are to be duped by that kind of thing. And so, why would they not believe the Lord Jesus Christ? Friends, can I ask you personally, do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? I'm not saying, do you accept some of the teachings of the Bible? Have you sought him? Have you found him to be your savior and your all? Have you come yielding your life to Him as somebody who is tired of running your own life and want Him now to run it, wash it, cleanse it, and run it. Do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm not saying you believe in some of the teachings about Him. I'm saying, have you come to truly yield your life into His arm, abandoning every hope, either in yourself, either in the good things He can do, or in this world, and looking to Him alone as your only hope, and as your Lord and Master, and gladly yielding to His Lordship and government. Have you done that? Now, if that doesn't happen, the question is why? Why have you not believed Him? Now, the Bible has the answer. And that's what the verse talks about in verse 19. Verse 19, look at it. And this is the condemnation. This is why, in spite of the fact that the Savior has come, there is still condemnation for some people. And this is the condemnation, the reason for it. That light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. This is strange, isn't it? Friends, if you like, pick the illustration. Appreciate the illustration first, and I think you begin to feel the shock of it. Here we are. There's a time we have darkness, and all over this place the lights have gone out. There's no light at all, and people are stumbling and falling, and the whole community is dark, and we know it's not safe. And then suddenly the light comes on, and you have people murmuring, oh, put away the light, put off the light. Wouldn't that be strange? In fact, we'll begin to form opinions about them at once. Sir, what do you do with the darkness? Sir, when the lights go off, what benefits do you gain from that? And that's the kind of strange thing Scripture is talking about. Here is light. The Lord Jesus came and showed us how men may come out of darkness and know God for themselves, and to be washed of their sins. And they say, no, we don't want that. You don't say that with your lips. The Lord Jesus shows us how we do it. You may not openly say, oh no, I don't want anything to do with God. I don't want anything to do with the gospel. Don't tell me anything about God or how to know you. You may not say this openly, but the Bible tells us how you do it. You do it this way. You still choose a life of darkness than a life of light. You know what that means? It means you begin to want a life of secrecy. You want to maintain a department, at least in your life, that's very secret, that is never opened. You want to maintain a secret lifestyle. You want to live a life of lies. You do not want to be so plain and genuine. You want to be able to carry out some underhanded behavior and things like that. Friend, isn't that ugly? Isn't that amazing that we like that? The reason why you would not want to believe the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the reason why this is also the case is the next point, which explains the fear. But it shows us the nature of the fear. That it's simply the fact that we would not want to believe the Lord because we would want a life of lies. Years ago, I had a friend. This friend went to the same seminary I went to. He showed me a picture of their group. And there was something strange on the picture. And he showed me several pictures. And what was strange was this. A particular person in that student group, and those students were supposed to be people who are trained to be pastors. And in this series of pictures, he showed me a number. I forget the number, but he showed me these pictures. And that thing was repeated. This particular person, it seemed what he did was, anytime they were taking that picture, he would position himself all right. But the very moment the shutter is about to go, he hides the face behind another person. In fact, the brother was telling me they had spotted it. And so they had spoken to him. And so when they go to stand, you will see him standing with everybody. But by the time the pictures come out, his face is hidden behind somebody else. In fact, I think later, if I remember well, it turned out that he went out there and it was a mess because he wasn't genuine at all.
Of course, this is the strange thing. Here is open matter. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ. He comes so plainly to deal with people so plainly. We say, we don't like him. We don't like his teaching. I don't want him to rule over me. It's okay, I may go to church. I may be involved in church at first. And I may be part of everything the church does. Oh, but I will not have him to rule over me. I will not have him to be my Savior and my Lord. He is too light. He is too pure. And I love everything unclean. And everything dirty. And everything ugly. I like everything secret and nasty. Friends, isn't that worrying? Isn't that strange? That's us, friends. That's us. Friends, can I ask you respectfully, are you not aware that you maintain a secret department in your heart? Are you not aware that you have a place you would never open up? It's a secret place. It's a kind of a secret chamber in your heart. You keep it firmly shut. No one dares open that door. You do not want anything to open that door. Friend, the Bible's prediction is this. Every single person has some. Every single one of us. You know, and he will tell us the reason for those. But the strange part of this is this. It is simply because I want darkness. And I do not want light. Friends, this is quite surprising, I think, you would see. But friends, just look at the passage. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Because there's something evil with us. And we would want to hide that. And we would not want anyone to see that at all, and that becomes a difficult thing for us. Now, my dear friends, I go to verse 20. Just look at it again. For everyone that doeth evil, so it's explaining verse 19 further, do you see? For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light. Why? Lest his deeds should be reproved. He doesn't want to come to the light, lest his deeds be discovered. Actually, that's how to understand it first. His deeds to be so exposed and discovered, so that he feels shame. And no one likes that. No one likes shame. You know what, friends? All of us are like children, to some extent. And if you're a young person here, I am not prophesying. I'm only telling you what the Bible says. If you have a young child who has the reputation of being a good child, it's nice, we like it. But this is, unless he's converted at the time, which I'll speak a little about, unless the Lord truly changes him, this is what would happen. As you get into your teens and early 20s, around that time, you begin to feel the power of your own lusts overpowering you. And all the niceties that you've shown around, powerfully challenged. Rebellion setting in. A desire to explore the opposite of everything your parents have taught you. And everything you've shown up. So here you are. You've shown your parents from maybe a 5-6 up that you are such a truth-telling young person, and you don't do this, and you don't do this, and you don't do that. Now all this thing is challenged right from within. A new habit is rising. A new rebellion is rising. And it's too powerful for it to be contained. As you know what you do, what you will do is they begin to live a life of lies. You wouldn't want your parents to say that you are that nasty. As they begin to live a lie. You'd be surprised. I wish it doesn't. It's not like that. But I'm afraid that's what it will happen to you. Soon, as you cannot withstand these lusts that is carrying you away, you will live a lie. You will fulfill that lust and find a very clever way to cover up. We are all like that, my dear friend. You know why? You do not want that image to be shattered. Your parents think of you as, say, an angel. You want to retain that angelic picture. They don't want that smashed into pieces. Does he want to do anything to maintain that kind of imagery? And yet all along, you know, it's not true anymore. Underneath is rottenness taking place. Friends, it will happen to you and young persons. And unless the Lord saves you as young, no one has the power to contain this kind of corruption within, and the fear that it comes along with, the fear to be exposed, the fear that I'll be known to be such and such. And so you will live a lie. And as I said, no one wants to feel shame. We don't want to feel shame. We all want to maintain. We all like some self-respect, don't we? Everybody wants to be greeted in the street. No one wants to be trodden upon. And so we all like a measure of pride and self-importance. In fact, a measure of self-respect is acceptable. God created it that way. If there is no self-respect, that we'll be killing ourselves that easily. So at least a bit of self-respect makes you give a little respect to the other person also. So it's God's kindness to have a measure of self-respect. But it can get out of hand. When it gets out of hand, when the self-respect is making me feel more like I'm a master of my own. If a messenger in an office has a self-respect about his work as a messenger, it's acceptable, isn't it? And so you go there and he gladly says, "Sir, I'm the messenger, I'm the one to be sent up and down." Of course, we like that. But supposing the messenger begins now to behave like the director, of course, that becomes ugly. And friend, that's where our self-respect pushes. None of us want shame. Oh, but friends, look at the passage, because this is what we want to avoid. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved, should be so exposed as to feel shame. And we don't want it. Friends, but let me suggest to you, shame is so necessary for a good relationship. Think of it. Even in ordinary relationship, shame, capacity for shame, enriches the relationship. It makes us willing to admit what we've done, isn't it? And to truly bow down our heads. And to truly go and seek the other person with sincere earnestness. Because we are so sorry of what we've done. A measure of shame. If you have a friend who never is able to really bow his head sometimes and say, "Whoop, is that what I did? Is that what I said? I'm really, really ashamed of this." Well, of course, that friendship will last. It will soon turn into a kind of a proud display, and eventually will be blows because everybody is too important. Friends, a measure of shame is important for a warm relationship, even between ourselves, but between us and Almighty God, it's even supremely important because it humbles us. You do not want to feel shame. You do not want to feel as if we're exposed. Oh, friends, a measure of that is good. A measure of that is good because it brings you down before Almighty God. So you don't need to be hiding. You don't need to be desiring a hiding place. I really want to give a false impression about myself. Give everybody the picture that I'm such a wonderful person. And you know what would happen? It will lead you even to abandon the best remedies. Oh, friends, I'm sure you have heard of this kind of thing at the secondary schools before. And you go to the secondary schools, if they are mixed secondary school, that's where you see the problem most. You go to the secondary school, and it's dining time, a time to go and have their lunch or supper or whatever it is. And usually, it's pronounced in the mixed schools. The ladies usually have a tradition. You don't really go to dining when the boys are there. You want to see how important you are. You don't eat at such places. As you stay in your dormitory and eat something else. Okay, the other boys go and eat the food. I'm sure you have heard stories of maybe a girl who's found himself in such a group. They won't go to dining.
Those who wouldn't go really have an abundance of food in their trunks. Oh, but this poor girl doesn't. But he must fit the atmosphere. He must really be like his peers. And so they are not going, and she's not going either. Do you have food? No, she doesn't. How will she survive? She'll pretend nicety. She'll pretend everything is all right. And she walks around hungry, but she wouldn't tell anybody. Her trunk is empty, but she wouldn't complain. What do you think would happen? Well, eventually there'll be disaster. Friends, when people would not see their state, friends, eventually they will even abandon solutions. You wouldn't go for solutions. The person who would do the greatest kindness, you wouldn't like him. Look at how the passage speaks. Verse 20. For everyone that loveth evil hateth the light. This is light. You hate light. Not just you don't like it, you don't want it at all. Don't shine the light on me. You would hate it. You would hate the Lord Jesus Christ, friends. If you retain the pride of wanting to feel importance, if you don't want to feel shame that comes with repentance and grief, you hate him. You wouldn't want him. You wouldn't want his ways. You would never want to become a Christian. And the one who's supposed to be so kind to you, you will not want anything to do with him. Well, friends, I don't want to really bore you up with this. No, I remember in our childhood, I remember there was a particular male nurse which my father would often bring in to give us the injection. Because we were young. Of course, I know children don't like injection. Any of the young ones here like it? I don't think you like injections. Anyway, but we never liked injections. And this man, I remember his name very well. He's no more now. And of course, it's when you grow up that you know that he was doing you good. He comes with this injection and he gives it to all of us and he goes away. I realized, even when I was growing up, in fact, to be sincere with you, even right now, as I mention his name, a kind of a mixed feeling rises in my heart. Because even up to now, simply seeing the man brings some scare in my heart. Because he's a man of injection. But what was he doing? Was he a killer? Or was he a helper? But you see, ignorant child, I didn't see the danger of my diseases. And so I thought that this man is a hurt, when in fact he's a help. Friends, as long as you do not like light, you will never really see any beauty in Christ. He will never come to him. Oh, friends, we stress this every time. And nowadays, because it's likely many people will tell you, we stress it again and again. Do you know when you actually come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Is when you have a full picture of who you are and what you've done and your state before him. No one comes to the Lord Jesus Christ by simply hearing the nice things about the gospel and say, okay, I want to become a Christian. That becomes becoming a Christian like a club. But to really come to him and know him, you really have to feel your need of him and bow to him, friends. So we do not want to come because we do not want to be shamed. And I've told you, friends, shame is unique, has a unique role to play in every serious relationship, and especially with Almighty God. Friends, don't be afraid to be ashamed. The rule is no shame, no conversion. It's true. In shame, we call it repentance. That's another word. No shame, no repentance, no spiritual life. So friends, don't hold up to pride and turn away from the Savior. Let me mention another reason, and I go on. Another reason why we fear that reproof is that all of us wish that there's really no higher standards. Friends, it's a strange thing, but it's true. We wish that there's no higher standards of morality. So that somehow, the way I am, everybody will say, well, of course, this is okay. He isn't that bad. Of course, he's a human being.
human beings are sinful, so you know, this is okay. We all want to feel that way. And so actually we fight against any higher standard. It scares us to feel that there's a higher standard anywhere. Friends, this is unreasonable also. Don't we want higher standards in other parts of our lives? Don't you want any higher standards in the work that our Food and Drugs Authority do? Some higher standards? Why don't you want a higher standard with your life? You want it in material things? You don't want it in your life? Is it fair? Is it wise? You see, we wish that we bring down God's own standard to our very level so we can feel at peace and feel that we are right. Friends, no, we need the standards. In fact, the standard ever stands there. God's only standards, that is what stands as the light, and it will judge every one of us. That is that which reproves us and exposes us and shows us our faults and sins and shows the ugliness. And then if we will bow our hearts to the Lord, it will show us the Lord Jesus Christ, our dear Savior, who died to purchase forgiveness for us. Friends, do not be afraid of shame. Don't bring down God's standards. This is what you should do rather. Look at verse 21. Verse 21. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. This is the way of escape, you see. But he that doeth truth, this is the beginning. He that will be sincere, he that is sincere, he that is genuine, he that wants that which is true, friends, he would come to the light. That's where we begin, my dear friends. It begins with sincerity, a real desire to face up to what you have done. So, friend, do you want to be genuine? Friend, do you like lies still? Or you want to be genuine? You will not come to the Lord unless you desire to be genuine. You desire to be true. You begin to be tired of the life that is hid and covered up. Every now and then we meet people who are so tired with this kind of life. I've lived a life of lies, of only outward impressions, of giving people impressions of who I am not. I am tired of it. I want to be real. I want to be genuine. Friends, it brings freedom, isn't it? It frees you. The very moment you say, I do not want to live a lie anymore. I want to be genuine. And it is this point that if I go to the Lord, I will find mercy with him. Go, friends, be sincere. This is where we begin to throw off the lies. Friends, be sincere. He that doeth truth cometh to the light. He faces up to the plain truth. He hides nothing. Bring in the light. Throw the light into the tunnel. Open up the wound. And let its nature be seen. Now, I don't want to disturb your appetites. I knew a young man years ago. He's now an old man, a married man now. For a long time, he was always wearing, even when he was you would call him a boy, he was always wearing a pair of trousers. And he would never put it down. He would never put it off. He had the trousers on every time. And then his brother told me one time, you know why? He's carrying a very terrible festering sore. And he doesn't want anybody to touch it. And he's covering it every day. And the sore was enlarging and becoming worse and worse. But I didn't know what happened to him. There was a time I saw that, well, he's put off the trousers and now there was a bandage on it. And so what is happening? Oh, now the sore is being attended to. Of course, or you know, the obvious results, the sore will heal. because it's now opened. Friends, I wish you picture, this is what the Lord is doing. This is the Lord's invitation. Don't hide. Don't hide that wound. Don't hide the sins. Don't hide the corruptions. Don't hide the uncleanness. He sees the details of it. It's always before Him. He knows everything. Nothing can be hid. He knows you have a secret department in your life. He knows you have put a several locks upon that to keep it away from any prying eyes. Oh, but friends, don't do that. Here is light. Here is a healing light that will kill. Which ones do you prefer, friends? A hidden something that is hurting and destroying, or a healing of that which is hid so that you are free from it? Which one would you prefer? The Lord Jesus says, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light. He will come to the light. It starts with sincerity. Dear friends, to become a Christian doesn't start with the so-called prayer. What they call sinner's prayer doesn't start with that. It starts with sincerity. Oh Lord, I am tired of a life of lies. I am tired of pretense and show. I am tired of a mere impressions on the outside. I really want to be genuine. I really want to be true. I really want to know thee, Lord. My dear friends, Christianity is the only genuine religion on earth. It makes a person thoroughly genuine. You hate lies. You hate pretense. You hate cover-ups. You hate wrong impressions. The apostles could say, we have abandoned every pretense, and we present ourselves to every man's conscience, they could say. Oh friends, and so if you want to become a child of God, you must feel the weariness within. Lord, I want to be true. I want to be a true child of God. I do not want to be hiding away. I want to be truly changed and blessed. But you have not the power. This is why the Savior went to the cross of Calvary. Do you know the extent of his misery? If each one of them were to be explained, you will see that every one of the secret evil of those who would believe in him was displayed there. He was bringing the massacre to the open. He must suffer openly for that which we have done, even secretly as well as openly. He must bear the curse. He must bear the punishment. And he did that willingly and gladly. This is the Savior who has demonstrated the fact that if you came with those secret departments, he will not destroy you. He will only heal and bless and change and make you his own. He's paid the price of that on Calvary. He made his Father put the punishment upon him and the curse upon him, so that you and I, if we return to him, will be washed and renewed. Friends, don't continue, because he's demonstrated such a love for needy sinners. Would you come to him and turn to him? If you will face up to what you've done, that's the sincerity. Oh Lord, I will hide nothing. Oh Lord, I hate the secret chambers. Oh Lord, I hate the secret departments in my life. Here am I. Wash me and cleanse me. And look at something. The last line looks something like what in the literature we call ellipses. Because he puts the words, he as it were shortens the words, but there are some implications in them which evidently, you know, as you read the Lord Jesus Christ when he teaches about what God does in hearts. But just look at it here. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now, his deeds will be made manifest. He will face us up with three sins. His deeds become plain. That he is a sinner, that he doesn't deserve anything from God.
But this is what would happen. This is what is implied. You will be so blessed by coming to the Savior openly. God will so deal with you. He will bless you. He will wash away the sin and change you. And so powerfully work in your heart that if people began to deal with you, they would say, God has wrought something in this man. That's what it means. God has wrought a work in this man. God has changed this person thoroughly. This isn't a human kind of a change of mind. This is God's work. This is God's dealings. First, conversion is such a powerful work, and it is God's work. Oh, come, my dear friends. Don't hide. Don't pretend. Don't be ashamed of shame. Don't pull down the standards in order to feel fine. Look at the standards that judge you and bow before it in humility. God demands me to be holy, but I am unclean. God demands me to keep a pure heart, but I am full of lust. God wants me to be a truthful person, but I am a liar. Face up to the standards. Face it up, but go to Him. Go, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, calling upon Him. Put all your hopes in Him. Ask Him to have mercy upon you, and He will hear you and bless you. If you are sincere, if you never kept, you never went on still keeping a hiding place, if you went sincerely, He will hear you and bless you. And He will so powerfully work in your heart, it will become visible. It will be clear that He has worked in you. May the Lord help us and bring you to Himself. Let's pray. Our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, we praise Thee, O Lord, that though we are children of darkness, there's such light provided us in the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. O Father, we are creatures of darkness, and until Thou hast touched us, each one of us would to our very dying day retain a secret dark chamber where we would try to hide away so much. Oh, gracious Father, look upon each one of us and bring us to feel the ugliness of this and bring us to repentance. Oh, let us see that though Thou would have to bring us to shame, it is in order to bring us into relationship with Thyself. Such a warm and wonderful relationship. Oh, bring us, Lord, strip away our pride and bring us to bow the knee to our dear Savior in repentance and call upon Thee and seek mercy at Thy side. Bless us this morning, for we ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, and for His sake. Amen.
Amen.